Revelation chapter 22. We surely appreciate the invitation to be here. Always kind of a blessing to be here with this church. I think I have the best church in the world. They take such good care of me and Mandy. I don't want to offend anybody here, but we are so blessed. The Lord has protected us greatly, given us a great people to pastor, and no place else I'd rather be. Thankful, though, for the opportunity to be here. Bring you greetings from everyone. You know most of our folks over there, and I sure want to bring greetings from everyone. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Our message tonight, the five messages that we're going to preach this week is kind of a little mini-series. I preached these messages about a year and a half ago at our church when Brother Wayne invited us to come. I began to think of some different things, and these came to mind, got them out, started working with them, changing them around a little bit. I want to be speaking this week on, I guess you can call them different things, the five fundamental Christian principles. Some of them are called the five solas. Our message tonight is Sola Scriptura. Let's have a word of prayer. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for each one that has come out tonight. We pray that these messages will be a blessing to us this week. We pray, Lord, for Brother Troy McGahan, Brother Faird, Brother Riddick, that'll be coming, Lord. We pray for their messages as well, that you will speak in this meeting. Lord, challenge us through your word. Help us to become more acquainted with it, study it closely, follow it, Lord, as best that we can, and trust in you even more than we ever have. Lord, I pray that as the days come and the days go, and as we get closer to your return, that we would be looking for you, and looking for you, we would be ready. So, Lord, help us always to be faithful. Help us always to serve you with all the strength that we have. As we already heard tonight, you gave your best and your love to us. Lord, help us to give our best and our love to you in return. Lord, bless tonight as we study your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be preaching this week on the five solas, the five fundamental teachings of Christianity. Let me go through those really quick. The first one is Scripture alone. The second is faith alone. The third is grace alone. The fourth is Christ alone. And the fifth is the glory of God alone. The first one, Scripture alone, or Sola Scriptura. The solas are phrases that came during the time of the Protestant Reformation when there was a challenge to the Roman Catholic Church and the teachings that they were purporting. These things weren't new teachings. There have always been people that believe what we do today. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the testimony of history, for our ancestors, and for the truth that they had always held. So tonight, the Scripture alone. Number one, the Bible's authority. Number one, the Bible's authority. Sola Scriptura means Scripture alone. By that we mean that the Bible is God's Word and that it alone is the authority by which we derive our doctrines and our beliefs. The old Baptists used to say it, and we still say it today, the Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible's authority. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. You'll notice here in this passage, as he speaks of all Scripture being inspired, given by inspiration of God, he gives the different areas where the Bible is profitable for us in our lives. It is more than profitable in the area of doctrine. Now, we know that our doctrine, our testimony has been, as Baptists through the ages, to take God's Word as where we get our doctrine from. We believe what the Bible teaches. But there's more to it than that. The Bible has an authority that extends beyond doctrinal teaching. The Bible is the authority for reproof. That means conviction in our lives. It says correction. The word epanathosis means to straighten up. The Bible will teach you how to straighten up. It'll get your life straightened out the way that it should go. For instruction in righteousness. It means that word instruction is education, training in righteousness. You see, if you were to ask, you could ask all these questions and the Bible would be the answer to each one. Where do we go to learn what we believe? The Bible. Where do we go to learn how to act from day to day? The Bible. How do we operate our church? How do we raise our families? How do we work? How do we get to heaven? The answer to all these questions is the Bible, God's Word. It is our only rule. It is the only measuring stick that we use for our faith and our practice. Jude chapter, or there's only one chapter in Jude, but verse 3 speaks of the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And that word, that phrase, the faith, is a collective term that can describe the entire body of the system that we believe. And we earnestly contend for that faith once delivered. Now, sola scriptura does not mean that other things aren't helpful. I want to give you an illustration of this, a couple of examples. You take the church, for example. You know, the church can be a great help in your life in understanding the Scriptures. The Lord's church was given the responsibility of protecting His words and commands to propagate His truth to all generations until He would return. You can learn a lot from the church. But did you know that the church isn't the end-all, know-all? Our church is not the final authority. And sometimes we have struggled with that because, well, we just struggle with that concept. We are not the ultimate authority. Now, the church is the institution with authority in the Lord's kingdom, but we are not the sole authority. The Bible says that even our authority does not go beyond what the Scripture allows. Let me give you some examples. You know, we talk about church authority. At our church, we observe the Lord's Supper on the fifth Sunday, when there's a fifth Sunday. Now, if I want to change that and start doing it on the first Sunday, is that okay? Yeah. The first Sunday of every even month, okay, February 1st Sunday, next Sunday, we'll have a fellowship dinner and afternoon services at church. What if we want to switch that? What if we want to start doing things differently? What if we want to start administrating differently? Now, what if we want to start baptizing by sprinkling? Is that okay? Why? You see, because now you've entered the realm of Scripture, and where Scripture is being plain and where Scripture is being clear, and even the church with its authority does not extend beyond the Scriptures. That's something that we have struggled with. Can we do that? We have to follow the Scriptures. Here's another help. You know, books, commentaries, all those kind of things, they're helpful. I have several, some that have been given to me, some that I've bought, some that I wish I hadn't bought. They're a help, but I think we could all testify we've seen men, even preachers, get messed up when it comes to books, because you know, we're prone to finding the guy that we really like and who grabs our attention, and if we're not careful, we begin to idolize certain men and we begin to follow them word for word and what they teach, and we can't do that. We have to go with God's Word in all things. You see, the Bible must be the authority. It must be where we return for answers. You see, if the Bible's not the authority, then who is? I mean, do you really want us to be the authority? I mean, do you even want the preacher to be the authority? I mean, we got several preachers here tonight, and I think each one of us could testify to you. I don't think any of us believe exactly the same way that we did when we started preaching. So, you know, what happens if you start following a preacher and your doctrinal statement becomes his doctrinal statement, and you follow this guy blindly and you just you forget about God's Word? What happens when he changes his beliefs and realizes maybe he was in error? You see, we've got to go with the Scriptures, okay? I believe that we need to follow the Scriptures because they are inspired. You know, the old Baptist, I want to read to you from the 1689 London Confession of Faith. Their article on the Holy Scriptures begins by saying, "The Holy Scripture is the only sufficient, certain, and infallible rule of all saving knowledge, faith, and obedience. Although the light of nature and the works of creation and providence do so far manifest the goodness, wisdom, and power of God as to leave men inexcusable, yet are they not sufficient to give that knowledge of God and His will which is necessary unto salvation." The Bible is necessary, it is needed, and it is the authority. in our lives. The Holy Scripture, it's the only infallible rule. Psalm 119, verse number 89, says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." See, that's where we want the authority to be, and something that doesn't change. You follow a church, or you follow a man, or you follow a book, or you follow any other system blindly, they're always susceptible to change. The Scriptures are unchangeable. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled." The Lord's word is permanent. It is fixed. It has been fixed from the beginning. The Bible's authority. The Bible is the authority in our lives. We need to follow with our hearts what God's word says. We need to pay attention to it. We need to strive to follow it with all of our hearts. To do that, we need to become familiar with it. The Bible needs to take an important place in our lives. It needs to take an important place in our homes. It is more than the book that is preached from the pulpit on Sunday morning. This Bible doesn't just belong on pulpits. It belongs on nightstands. It belongs on coffee tables. It belongs in our daily lives. We got to follow the Bible. The Bible is the authority. Number two, the Bible alone. The Bible's authority, now the Bible alone. Not only is the Bible the authority, but sola scriptura. Scripture alone. We read in our text in Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. A severe warning to any that would take away from the words or would add to the words. And I understand, I realize there's controversy over whether this is speaking just to the book of Revelation or to the entire Revelation in general. I think the truth that is portrayed comes clear either way. You don't add to the Lord's Word. You don't take away from the Lord's Word. It alone, you don't take away from it and you don't add to it. Now, others have added to the Bible. And we've got in our world, we've got hundreds of different systems of beliefs. And it's because we have added to the Lord's Word, we've taken away from the Lord's Word, or just not done anything with it at all. Let me give you some examples of this. Examples where men have either taken away or added to the Scriptures. One illustration of this would be Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholicisms believe that they have a system of doctrine that they know of as tradition. Tradition in Catholic theology is not, hey, something that they've always believed. But when Catholics speak about tradition, you know, Roman Catholics could, in their doctrine, they could propose a new truth today and it could be settled as high as scriptural authority. That is the doctrine of tradition. Let me give you some examples. You know, the Roman Catholics teach things that are obviously not in the Scriptures. One of those, the perpetual virginity of Mary. Now, that doctrine's nowhere in the Scriptures. And here's the thing. We laugh at Catholics because, oh, why do you teach stuff that's not in the Bible? They know it's not in the Bible. You see, we've ignorantly accused them of doing that. They know it's not in the Bible. They know the doctrine of transubstantiation is not in the Scriptures. But here's how they've justified that. See, they don't believe sola scriptura. They believe that the Scripture has authority, but they believe that the Church is also authority. I mean, the Pope one time said, he said himself, "I am tradition." And what happens in tradition is that the Pope could say today that we believe in the perpetual virginity of Mary. And the Church, as they follow him, that becomes Catholic doctrine. And it becomes tradition. And that is a level of authority that is equal to the Bible, to Roman Catholics. It doesn't have to be in the Bible as long as the Pope and the hierarchy of the Catholic Church says that this is doctrine and this is authority, it becomes such. Not everything, you obviously know they believe things that aren't in the Bible. They would tell you that themselves because they believe that not only is the Scripture authority, but that also that the Church is the authority. The Roman Catholics also believe in what they call papal infallibility. What that means is, I guess the simplest way to describe it is, Roman Catholics believe that when the Pope sits and teaches on doctrinal and moral things, that he is infallible. Now, they don't teach that the Pope can't sin. They don't teach that the Pope can't fall in that sense. But they believe that when he sits and he teaches on doctrinal, moral things, that the Holy Spirit protects him from error. When he speaks, it is ex cathedra. It is as lawful and it is as authoritative as if it would come from the Scripture itself. And they believe that. They believe that the words that come from a man's mouth can carry as much authority as the Scriptures. You see, many men have added to the Bible, and we've been warned not to add to the Scriptures. Well, the charismatic movement adds to the Scriptures with their sign gifts. They speak in tongues. They speak with new revelation. They add to the Scriptures. We see it all over our world. Papal infallibility, tradition in the Roman Catholic Church, charismatics with their sign gifts. And if we're not careful, we as Baptists, we struggle sometimes. We as Baptists, we love our heritage, and we have the best heritage of any that is out there. And sometimes, in being loyal to our heritage, we've been loyal to the point that we've even been loyal when some have been in error. And we followed men, and we followed teachers that haven't always been right. But we got to be loyal, and sometimes we as Baptists, our loyalty has gotten us in trouble. So it's very easy, and I could preach all night on how all these other denominations, all these other religions do things wrong, but we've got to be careful that we don't stray from the Scripture, and that the Scripture alone is the authority. The Scripture is where our authority is. Number three, the Bible always. The Bible always. You see, the Bible is always right. Its truth is always right, and it endures to each generation. So what do we do with the Scriptures? What do we do with God's Word? Is it alone our rule of faith and practice? You need only ask yourself the question, what importance then does it play in our lives? Turn with me to Psalm number 119. Psalm 119. See, the Bible is not a book that is to be left in the church house. It's not a book that's to be left to the special time of Sunday, Wednesday. It is daily needed in our lives. It says in Psalm 119, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in all the ways of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." All these great things, man, if you were to read all the things that are mentioned in Psalm 119 about the Lord's Word, what do we do with God's Word? It has got to have that important place in our lives. You see, the Scripture is how we live our life. I appreciate what Brother Troy said when he came to John 3:16, and I've done it before myself. We always say, you know, well, here's what it doesn't say. We just finished a series on Bible interpretation on Wednesday nights at church, and one of the things we hit on a couple of times is that we do not live our lives by what the Bible doesn't say. We live our lives by what the Bible does say. And I warned our church, and I would say this, you know, you find sometimes, and we can be guilty of it, but you see some believers that every time you mention anything, well, here, the Bible doesn't say this, and the Bible doesn't say this, and the Bible doesn't say this. That is not how Baptists operate. That's not how we operate. The Scripture is our rule of faith and practice. We go by what the Bible does say. That's how we live our life. That's how we pattern our life. We don't look for things that the Bible is silent on. We look for what the Scriptures teach, and we follow that. The Bible says, "Thy Word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light unto my path." Now, I've used that illustration before. You know, the Bible is not a flashlight. When it says it's a light, it doesn't mean it's a flashlight that I'm going to go this way and I'm going to take the light with me so the Bible will shine the light. No, thy word is a lamp to my feet. There is a path that is lighted with the Scriptures. And that is the path that you go down. And the further you get off of this path, the further that you get away from God's Word, the darker life gets, the more confusing the way seems to get. You see, thy word is a light to my path. Here's the path. And there is a path in your life that's lighted. And I understand that on that path, it's different things for different people. See, here's the thing. Some people get walking down the path, and they see a roadblock, or they see a detour sign, or they see some kind of trouble, and they think, well, I've gone the wrong way, and they go some other way. This is the path that's lighted. This is the path that we stay on. You see, the Bible is how we model our lives. We follow what the Scripture says. And we do that every day in our lives. We follow what God's Word says. It becomes important to us daily in our lives. The Word to us. Turn to Psalm 19. Psalm number 19. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Notice all that the Scripture is to us there in that passage. More to be desired are they than gold. The Bible is our greatest profit. The Bible will give you things in life that money can't. You see, money can buy you a house, but it's the Bible that'll give you a home. It's money that'll get you an education, but it's the Bible that'll give you wisdom. It's all, you see, money will buy things, but the Bible will buy things that money can't. That's why you buy the truth and you sell it not. Listen, I realize everything has a price. You know, we like the house that we live in, but if you make us the right offer, we'll sell the house to you and find another one in Oblong. Everything has a price, but when you buy the truth, then you sell it not. Why? Because the truth will bring things that money could never do. Amen. If you sold the truth, it doesn't matter how much money you got in return for it. It wouldn't have been a good deal. You see, the Bible is our greatest profit. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Not only is it our greatest profit, it's our greatest pleasure. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 119, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. One that findeth great spoil. You know, sometimes when the days get tedious and are long and work has been hard and the kids have you know, been hard that day, you look at your Bible reading time, you look at your devotion time, and it's a struggle. And sometimes it's a struggle to really get serious and get down into it. But when you open up God's Word, it's like a treasure. He said, I rejoice that thy Word is one that findeth great spoil. Is there any passage you've read that you've regretted? Is there any devotion that you've ever had that you've regretted? You ever watched a TV program you regretted, you watched it afterwards? You ever handled a situation and then regretted the way that you handled it? You ever read the Bible and regretted it? You ever had devotion that you regretted? You see, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. It's also our greatest protection. You know, the Bible will protect you. If you'll listen to the Bible, it'll protect you. Sometimes we look at God's words and we're always consumed with the thou shalt not and you can't do this and you can't do that. And you don't see what Brother Troy said, that our God of love has given us things in our lives that would protect us. And if we would follow God's word, we would see a life that would be protected in such a great way. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. You can trust the Bible to protect you better than anything else can. You can trust the Bible better than you can trust yourself. You know, your conscience. Should you let your conscience be your guide? You know, I like what D.L. Moody said about conscience. He said, here's the one problem with conscience. Conscience will tell you what is wrong, but conscience will tell you what was wrong after you've already done it. But the Bible will tell you what's wrong before you've done it. See, that's why your conscience, you know, even the believer has a conscience, and even ours is renewed and we have the Spirit in us. But if we would follow the Scriptures, we would see that the Lord has protected us. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there's great reward. There's no greater reward than following the Scriptures. What great protection, what great provision, profit, and pleasure we have in our lives. And it's the Scripture alone that does that. We live and we die with the Scriptures. The Scripture has been most important to us in our history. How many men have been killed to give us a Bible in a language that we can understand? I think of the Dark Ages when the Bible, when it was outlawed and when it was illegal for it to be translated into the common language. And I think of at least two men right now whose lives were given to that cause. And I know one we especially wouldn't agree with in everything, but you take a man like John Wycliffe, who translated, and I understand he used the wrong manuscripts and such, but he translated the Bible into English, and the Catholics burned him for it. You know what was strange about that? Wycliffe had already been dead for 40 years. John Wycliffe died, and 40 years later, the Pope ordered his bones to be dug up, and they burned them, and then cast them into the river. Why? Because he translated the Scripture into English. I think of William Tyndale, the most important person probably in translation history, and how he gave his life, burned at the stake, translating a Bible into our language. You see, it was important for our forefathers to give us the Bible because it is the rule. You see, many times, and it's still that way, you know, other religions, and you know, we think of Catholicism, they really don't like for people to have the Bible in their hands. I mean, it was centuries and centuries and centuries where even when the common language was English, the Mass would still be given in Latin, and the priest would be the only one in the service that understood what a word was saying. They didn't want the people to have the Bible, and when men started to get the Bible, what did they do? They told us that we had to have the church interpret it for us. Because they know when man has a Bible in his hands, he's a dangerous person. When man gets in God's Word, and he digs in there and he starts applying it in his life, and when man listens to the Scripture alone, what a man he could become. When the Bible is our rule. The Bible has taken a back seat. And it's not in Catholicism, and it's not in all these other denominations. Sometimes it takes a back seat in my life. Sometimes there's other things that are more important. Sometimes there's other things that I need to do. Turn to James chapter 1. Sola Scriptura. This is it. This is it right here. James chapter 1. Notice how it describes the Word. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know, the Bible's a mirror. When you look at it, it looks right back at you. I don't remember who said it first. I've heard several men say it. But we read books and the Bible reads us. You know, you look in the Bible and it's like looking into a mirror. And it's been that way all through history. You know, in the Old Testament, when they built the brazen laver where the priests would wash their hands, the Bible says that they made that out of the looking glasses of the women. And here's what happens. When the priest would look in there, he could look and he could see where he was dirty, but the same thing that told him that he was dirty contained the solution, contained the water for it. And that's what the Bible is. The Bible will not only tell you that you're dirty, the Bible will not only tell you where you've been wrong, the Bible will tell you what's wrong with you, but right there on the same page, it's got the solution to the problem. And that's what makes the Bible unique. That's what makes the Bible such a treasure. You know, you read the newspaper, and they analyze and they can tell you all the things that are wrong with America. But they don't have the solution. You know, you can look on Fox News and watch the news, and man, you can see the problem, but they don't have the solution. You read in the Bible, you know what the Bible will do? It'll tell you what the problem is. And then it'll give you the solution. The Bible will get down to the nitty-gritty, and it won't try to hide words. It'll tell you that we're sinners. And it'll tell you that we're lost without Jesus Christ. And if not too much further, you turn over a few pages, and you read about Jesus Christ, and you read about the love of God, how that He loves sinners anyway, and He came to give Himself a ransom for them. You see, the Bible's a mirror. We can look into this, and we can really see who we are. And it does something that we can't even do. We can't even do. Look in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. James tells us that the Bible is like a mirror. You look in a mirror and you can see if you need to comb your hair, if you've got something stuck in your teeth, or if you didn't trim your goatee right, and then you go to church and then people laugh at you and make fun of you because you didn't trim it right. Not that that's ever happened. I'm kidding. It happened one time. But notice what the Bible will do that's even maybe even a little bit better than a mirror. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Isn't that neat? You see, you can look in a mirror and you can see what's wrong with you on the outside. What's great when you come to the Bible is the Bible will tell you what, not just what's wrong with the outside, but the Bible says, hey, you got something that's inside that's wrong. You see, someone, you can look at me and there's no, you can't tell me what's wrong with me on the inside. I can tell you what's wrong with me on the inside, but I'm really the only one that knows. But when I get into this book right here, somehow I discover that God knows. Somehow I keep seeing on every page that the Lord knows what's wrong with me. And He sees into my heart, and He looks not beyond my actions. He sees my attitude. He sees the spirit with which I do things. I think, you know, people don't see that, but God's Word reveals it to me. You see, the Bible does things that no other man, no other book, nothing else in this world can do. It is our only rule. And we live our lives by it, and we follow it. There was a great challenge during the Reformation to this teaching of papal infallibility and tradition. And one of the words, one of the phrases that was coined was sola scriptura, the Bible alone. We go with the Scripture alone. And that's not a Reformation teaching. It is a Baptist teaching. If you come, and I want to read one more quote. This is from the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. Notice what it says. The whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for His own glory, man's salvation, faith, and life is either expressly set down or necessarily contained in the Holy Scripture, unto which nothing at any time is to be added, whether by new revelation of the Spirit or traditions of men. You look in history and you see how much an emphasis was placed on the Word of God. And I could show you this and you could read it. You know, we have our confessions of faith that we bring for our church. If you were to look at the 1689 London Confession, there's two pages that I have here. And that's simply under the first heading on the Scriptures. There are 10 subheadings where they speak about the Scriptures. They speak of its authority. They speak of its relevance in life. You see, the Bible, the Word of God, it's quick. It's alive. You say, oh man, that book is so outdated. Man, that book's alive. You read it today and something that was written 3,000 years ago, it's alive. And you see, man, all the great emphasis that has been placed on the Scripture. Let's get back to that. Let's get back to our roots. Let's get back to the truth of God's Word. Let's get away from the traditions of men. I respect, and as Brother Troy said, man, we've got some fathers that we read, men that we respect dearly, and men that believe the truth, and we honor their stance for the truth. But man, it's when they preach that book that we follow them.
Amen.
And Paul, even as Paul said, you follow me as I follow the Lord. And I always tell our church that, man, you've got to get in the book. You've got to see it. If the preacher were to stand up one day and preach a heresy, would you know it? Is the Bible ingrained in you? Have you got it? Have you got it in here? Do you spend time in God's Word? Do you try to memorize portions of Scripture? Does the Bible take an important place in your life? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word is a lamp to my feet. There is a way in your life that will be lighted. There is a path where a light shines, and that's the path that follows God's Word. Be faithful to God's Word. It's truth. It's truth without any mixture of error. And it's been our position, and it needs to continue to be, that it's our only rule. We don't worry about what the Bible doesn't say. The Bible, I've discovered I've got enough trouble with what it does say. And that part's hard enough for me. Pray with me that we'll be better followers. Follow the Lord more closely and It's His Word. It's God's Word. It's more than a book. It's God's Word forever settled in the halls of heaven. Let's pray. We thank You, Father, for Your Word. And we thank You, Lord, that You have kept it and You have preserved it, even though it even says it's been tried through the furnace of earth, and different men have made their attempts against it. Different institutions have as well. But Your Word shines more glorious even to us today than it ever has. We thank You for it. As we think about all that You've done for us and all that You've revealed to us, we thank You that You revealed not only our sinful condition, but the remedy of it. We thank You that You've revealed to us the truth about Jesus Christ. And Lord, from so many different sides, we see at least four men telling us about the life of Jesus Christ and all that He did on our behalf. What a precious treasure we have, Lord, in Your Word. We thank You for a book that tells us how to take care of our families, how to take care of our church. A book that tells us what is wrong with us on the inside and gives us the remedy for it. Lord, we can never exhaust the prophet and the promises that are in Your Word. We thank You so much for it. Help us, Lord, that as we seem to always, and I know I do this, beat my chest on the Bible and the King James Version and preach its authority and stand strong for it. Lord, help me to spend more time in it each day. It's easy preaching, but Lord, make it real in my living. Help me to follow Your Word. It's truth. It's what You use to save sinners, the preaching of Your Word, and we thank You for that. Lord, help us to be faithful to our call to preach it and tell others Your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Wayne, you come.